That doesn't mean that at all. Never has, never will. Now, there are some churches that become very hyper in their belief. So when I came up here, the first thing I decided to do is to show them what I believe and why I believe it. I'm a student of the Bible. I have been to institutions that teach the Bible. I have been to institutions that were founded by the Waldenses, who were part of the Catholic Church for some time. And so I looked all over Europe. I looked all over North Africa. I looked all over the Middle East. I did extensive traveling. I have to answer to Christ for what I teach before the judgment seat. Now, this is a statement that I hope you'll seriously consider. Before 1730, I could not find one single preacher, teacher, textbook, any form of literature that taught that the rapture, the catching out of the saints, was going to occur at the first, what they call the first of the week. In other words, the tribulation period would not begin until what they call the first of the week, which has become a seven-day period, which people will have to go through, many people, particularly the unfaithful. I couldn't find one. Well, you say you might not have done an extensive enough search. I went into old libraries. For those of you that might not know it, most of the actual seminaries in this country and across the surface of the earth were actually formed and came out of different churches. They came out of Catholic Church. They came out of Protestant churches. They came out of all kinds of churches. That's a fact. So why come? Why not? Why didn't anybody ever say the Antichrist was going to come and catch out all the saints on the first day of a seven-year tribulation period? Here's what I discovered. There isn't going to be a seven-year tribulation period. Jesus has already fulfilled the first 3.5 years of it. Actually, to be specific, we know that Jesus fulfilled three Passovers. We know that Jesus came into the world. He came and was baptized by John. And we know that after that, he fulfilled three Passovers. So Jesus has already fulfilled the first 3.5 years, or to be specific, 1,185 days of the tribulation period. I found no exception to this wherever I went. I'm no different from anyone else. I'm going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm well aware of it. I made a profession of faith when I was actually 7 years old. And later on, when I was 12 years old, I was baptized by immersion by the authority of the church. Then God called me to preach. I didn't hear him audibly. I've never heard God audibly. I just read his word and what it says. Whatever it says, I believe. And many people have to have it translated for them. I went to school to study Hebrew and Greek so I could be honest with myself and with God and with you. And I can tell you that that's what this church follows. But it's not just what this church follows. We're called a landmark church. There was a practice in the Old Testament by people that weren't following God's word that involved moving the landmarks. That's why we call ourselves Landmark Church. And these people would go at night over a period of time and gradually move the landmarks that they would place at the head of their property. Because they placed it at the head of their property, over a period of time, they would have moved the property lines of the people adjoining them, and they were dishonest and they were crooked. So this is something that I found repeatedly over and over again. I never found any exception to it. And our churches began to become warm. They began to come landmark churches. That's what I am. I'm a landmark missionary Baptist. We don't believe you have to follow the specific rules that God laid down in the whole Old New Testament. We believe that's already been fulfilled. We believe it was fulfilled by Jesus Christ personally. We believe that Jesus Christ fulfilled it perfectly himself. I'm not going to heaven because of what I've done. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did. And it's Jesus that I trust completely. I have no hope of going to heaven except by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have never found any example. And one of the Catholic bishops said those accursed Anabaptists have been with us from the beginning. We've always been around. Catholics have always been around. A lot of Protestants have always been around. And now you're around. What I decide in this life concerning where I'm going to live in heaven determines on whether I follow the Lord the way the Lord directed or whether I don't. Heaven is not a place that people go to where you walk by the casket and say, well, I know he's in a better place. The only way you can know that he or she is in a better place is if they believe what the Lord Jesus Christ put in the Bible concerning himself. Jesus Christ died personally for every man here, and that's a fact. Now let's take a look at these things, because you never heard this before. It's not new. It's something that was taught before 1740. And I'll get it right in a minute, 1730. I never found anybody else that put it out. You say, well, how do we know you're telling the truth? You've got to try and look it up for yourself and try to find it. You say, well, how long did it take you? It's taken me a lifetime. You say, well, why didn't you just do like everybody else and just trust Jesus? I did. And why didn't you just go ahead and get baptized? I did. And why didn't you just go ahead and go to church and try to do what God wanted? I have. And here I am. Now, why am I preaching this? Because I have found it to be the truth. Now, I thank God that he didn't put out a plan of salvation where you go to hell if you don't believe exactly like he told you to do, or if you're not a Greek scholar of the English language. I don't believe God did that. But I believe God made a way where you can determine where you live in heaven. You can determine not whether you go to heaven or not. That depends on your belief. That depends on you putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He does the saving. He does it all. And that's the truth. Now, if you want to end up before the judgment seat of Christ and discover that you're there, but your belief wasn't exactly that way, you can go ahead and take the gamble. You can go ahead and take the choice. There are going to be lots of people in heaven that didn't believe it precisely and exactly as the Lord taught it. But to follow the truth is very difficult, because people ridicule you, they make fun of you, and you're looked upon with scorn. And the belief was very popular across North Africa and in the Middle East up until about the Council of Trent. And after the Council of Trent, they just completely smothered it out, because there was a big dispute between a lot of people, both Catholics and Protestants. It's been a subject that people don't have to face. If you want to go to heaven, then you better believe that Jesus died for your sins, and you've asked him to save you, and you're trusting in his power and ability to save you. Why should you do that? Let me quote a scripture to you. Very plain, very perfect. This scripture is found in Matthew, and it's a scripture that is very positive. It doesn't leave any doubts. You can look it up in Hebrew. You can look it up in Greek. You can look it up in other languages. You'll discover I haven't deceived you. It means this and nothing else. Here's the scripture, the words of Jesus, just before he ascended into heaven. It's in the last chapter of Matthew. Here are his exact words. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Look it up for yourself. All power, not some. You say, well, that's only given to God. That's who Jesus is. He said, I and the Father are one. How could he say that if it wasn't true? So let's listen to what he says in Matthew 28 and 29 and 30. He says, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto you. It's given unto me, he said. Matthew 28, 29. To 30. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, the reason I went to study Greek was because they have tenses in our language, in their language, that we don't have in ours. And so I wanted to make sure that when I interpreted these verses, I didn't have to in any way use sleight of hand to change the meaning. This is what it means in both Koine Greek, in Classic Greek, and also in English. There's a therefore right after that. He says, go ye therefore. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Well, what am I teaching? I'm teaching all nations that all power in heaven and earth is given unto Jesus Christ. That's what I'm teaching. Isn't that what I'm teaching? That is exactly what I'm teaching. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Now, there's your big therefore. It's in Greek. It's also in English. It's absolutely inspired. Therefore is a conclusion. Well, what's the conclusion from the verse before it? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what you do. You say, well, where'd they get that authority? They got it from the head of the local church. They got it from Jesus Christ. Jesus was talking to 11 people. Judas Iscariot had already been dismissed from the Lord's Supper. You can tell that in if you want to go over to, if you want to go over to John chapters 13 and 14, it says Jesus that Judas Iscariot left. Who baptized you? You say, well, I'm proud of my baptism. Well, good for you. Who baptized me? Well, I'm proud of my baptism too. You say, well, how do you know where it came from? From the scriptures. From the scriptures. I was baptized by the authority of a local visible New Testament church that has not removed the landmarks. We don't try to make our church something it isn't. You say, well, what do you do? We baptize by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all power in heaven and in earth. What else do you do? Next verse. Teaching them to observe whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. When we teach someone something, to observe something, what do we teach them? Well, we teach them to serve God. We teach them to go to church and learn the truth. Why have I never been able to find one single solitary book or preacher that claimed before 1730 that Jesus Christ was the Savior? Jesus Christ fulfilled all of the prophecy. All power in heaven and earth was given unto him. I'm not going to heaven because of my works. I'm going to heaven because of God's works. You say, well, what about all these people today go to church, worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and trust in him to get them to heaven? Don't they go to heaven? Yes. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, I mean by trust. If you think that you're going to be able to add something to what Christ did, you're wrong. If you think that you trust in Jesus Christ to carry you to heaven, you don't have any faith in yourself. You just trust him. There's a great rest that comes over you, and you never forget it. Now, we've been uncovering Daniel, and I tell you what I'm going to do. When I first came up here, I began to write three books. I had already completed two of them before I came to this church. It has to do with the actual fulfillment of the prophecies of Daniel. We are in the last stages of the prophecy of the fulfillment of Daniel. So you're not far away from what is called the end of the age. You say, oh, preacher's been trying to scare us with that for years. I'm not trying to scare you in any way, because I'm not scared at all. You say, well, why aren't you afraid? Because Jesus fulfilled the prophecies. I trust in him and all that he's ever taught. That's where my faith is. It's not anywhere else. So let's take a look at this, because this just happens to be Revelation chapter 6, 8 through 11. What happened to the teachings before 1730? What happened to them? I mean, why couldn't I find any references back there? Why couldn't I find a reference to it? Why couldn't I find a reference to the Lord, to the Antichrist? Why couldn't I find the whole scriptures in the Bible are about the Christ, Jesus Christ? That's why I couldn't find any. You say, well, didn't some of the preachers back before that teach that in Daniel 9:27 that was the Antichrist? No. You say, well, say that again. No. You say, well, what are you going to say before the judgment seat of Christ? I'm not worried about it. No. Because Jesus Christ fulfilled every single cotton-picking part of the first part of Daniel's prophecy. He died on the cross for our sins, and we are now going through a period of time of great bloodshed. And very shortly, you're going to find out what this little short, vat, dumpy preacher here told you was the truth. You can wait and find out, and you may still go to heaven. But I'm telling you that when you arrive in heaven, I have to stand before a judgment seat of Christ, and so do you. I make no profit in what I teach to you, because this is very unpopular. It began to be unpopular after World War I. Now, in Revelation 6, 8 to 11, I want to warn you that next Sunday, I'm going to take the morning service, and I'm going to take this part time here, and I'm going to go through this, and I'm going to show you line by line, verse by verse, what's happening right now. I'm going to prove it's happening right now, and I'm going to show you exactly what's going on in the Middle East. You say, well, you're not an authority on that. Oh, yes, I am an authority on it. Although it launched some of the first pie-ball runs that were taken to actually follow Russian thermonuclear explosions that were tracked across the Soviet Union at high level before Gary Powers. I also was in charge of the first unit that discovered where they were doing the Novaya Zemlya tricks. I am an authority on what goes on in that country. I can prove every bit of it, because now the deadline has passed for any of that stuff being classified, and you're watching the end time right now, unlevel. You say, well, you just made that up. No, I've taught that since I came here. I've got the documents that I taught when I came here, and I'm going to show it to you specifically so you'll understand. You don't have very long. You say, can you tell me the day Jesus is coming? Absolutely not. You say, well, can you tell us the general time period? Absolutely. So I encourage you to come back next week and listen to this and say, well, I think that's a bunch of baloney. I won't dislike you. I won't be mad at you or anything else. I give you my word. I just want to show you this because I think you need to know it. And you say, where'd you learn this? I learned this straight from the Bible. You say, well, didn't all these things that happened to you in the National Security Agency, didn't that help you? Yes. Whose idea was it you become a meteorologist or you become a geologist? It was God's. Did you want to do it? No, I didn't want to do it. I wanted to just be a grocery store clerk all my life because that's what my grandfather was. That's what my father was. And I was perfectly happy, but the Korean War broke out, and here I am. And they sent me through so many institutions of higher learning, I feel like the top of my head has come off two or three times. But the truth of the matter is, God's the only one who understands all this. And if you're ever going to get a grasp on it, he said, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You say, well, doesn't look like there's very many people here. No, I agree with you. There's not very many people here. But this is a peculiar bunch. They have a distinct belief that they have held to since the time of Jesus Christ, and it is referenced in the Catholic belief, the pesty Anabaptist. That's what we are. We're very pesty Anabaptist. We have a certain teaching that we follow. We're not hard-line. We're not unloving. We're kind. We're compassionate. We're forgiving. We're those things, but we also believe that if you love God, you need to get your life straight and worship Him in the correct way. Now, I want you to notice, he said, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death." You want to go back and find out which horse that was? Well, it was a pale horse. Were there any horses before that? Yeah. The color of the horse is very important. They try to make this the Antichrist and everything else, and quite frankly, they've been doing this ever since 1870, and not 1870, but since 1740. See, I'll get it right in a minute. 1730. I've spent so much time in those books, I've had them come apart in my hands. I've gone to places outside in Europe, and I've gone to places in this country from old universities that have closed and kept the old Bible books, and they had to have someone go with me so I wouldn't mishandle them, and they'd come apart. And it's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it when I went through it. I was taught this when I was a young man. I was taught this by one of the most eminent authorities on the subject that ever lived. And then I discovered that he wasn't the only one. And when I began to discover that, I said, man, these fellows are right, and what we're teaching is wrong. So if you think I'm full of baloney, I am, I'm Irish. But if you fool, think I'm full of baloney, come on back and listen to it again. You say, well, are you trying to convince me? I absolutely am. You say, well, what do you want me to do about it? Just listen to it and see what you think. And if you don't like it, throw it out. Because my job is not to go out and win the whole world to Jesus Christ. My job is to teach what Jesus Christ said to the first New Testament church. We have the Bible, and everything I teach comes out of that Bible. So I'm going to start next, I promise you, Lord willing, unless I don't die before then, I'm going to go ahead and start next Sunday morning, same time I'm teaching right now. And Chuck, I'm going to take over the morning service too and condemn you to purgatory. And then I'm going to go ahead and teach this, because this is something that I taught when I came here. It's something I'm certain of. It's something that I've researched. It's something I'm well aware. You think I'm not afraid of coming before the judgment seat of Christ? You don't think I have a fear of the Lord? I have a fear that I'll be wrong if I'm teaching this. I don't have any fear of it, because this is something God has led me to and something I have taught, and it is not popular now. It was back before 1730. He says, and the name that sat on him was Death. That's the last of the horsemen. And hell followed with him. This sounds like pretty serious stuff. Now, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. Now, I hate to do this, but I'm going to do it. Hal Lindsey is a very rich man. He has made an awful lot of money. There are a lot of preachers on television that are rich men. They have made a whole lot of money. Do I look like I've made a whole lot of money? With all this education, why am I an idiot or something? If I was going after the secular things of the world, I'd get on one of these television programs and scare the pants off of them, because I know what the writings of Daniel mean. Now, this is Revelation. It says, and power was given to them over the fourth part of the earth. Now, please, listen to me. Hal Lindsey knows better. So do the rest of those preachers on television that teach this means over the fourth part of the earth. They say that means all the earth. That's not what that word means in Greek. That is not what that word means in English. It's the fourth part of the earth. Take up a world map sometime and look over it. Take a huge one, a one on the wall, and go over it. And if you've been in Bible school or you've gone to church most of your life and you've seen all these maps and you've seen what the world was like during the Roman Empire, just draw a line around it. Then compare it with the rest of the earth. It's one-fourth. It's one-fourth. That's not figurative. You say, where is the one-fourth? Well, where was it in the Roman Empire? North Africa, the Middle East, as far over as India, as far north as Scotland. That's what the Antichrist is going to take over. You say, well, brother, I'm listening to what you say, but I just don't believe it. I love you, and I mean that from the depths of my soul. I have nothing against you. I'm delighted that you're here. Now, I want you to remember what I'm showing you, because when this stuff starts, it's going to start suddenly. And it's not in the far distant future. So I'm not playing this out over a long string so I can keep you in church. We don't need your money. God provided the money for this building. And we need your prayers. We need your submission. We need lots of things. But I want you to notice what this says. I was in Vietnam and in the war when it was going on in Korea. I was not in World War II. I'm not that old. I'm 84. And power was given unto them. That's plural. Fourth part of the earth. Where was that fourth part of the earth? Now remember World War I. And with the beasts of the earth. Okay, what did the First and Second War consist of? To kill with a sword, it was a time of blood shedding. And hunger, it was a time of, remember those poor little children that were dying over there with hunger? And with death? And with the beast of the earth? I used to think that beast of the earth, and I taught it. I didn't say it had to be, but I said it's probably the beast of the earth that they're eating their bodies and so forth and so on. I don't think it was. I think it was the beast of the earth that came before that, that messed with God's people, that messed with Israel. Which ones were they? The Assyrian Empire. They messed with them. Who was it before that? Well, the Hittites and others that were north of there. Who was it after that? Well, it was the Roman Empire. Not the Roman Empire, but the Babylonian Empire. Well, who messed with them after that? Medo-Persian Empire. Who messed with them after that? The Roman Empire. Who's messing with them right now? You're going to see the Antichrist come to fruition in North Syria. You're going to see it happen. And when it happens, I won't worry about you coming back to church anymore. I guarantee you will, because this is on our very doorstep, and most people do not believe it. You say, well, why should we believe you? Because I have taught it ever since I came here in 1974 and have written two books about it. And opened the fifth seal. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, oh, listen, this is all the martyrs. You say, what were they? Catholic, Presbyterian, Missionary, Baptist, Presbyterian. Listen. This is not something that has on it the name one belief. That has to do with where you live in heaven. It has to do with what kind of garments you wear in heaven. It has to do with rewards in heaven. But it doesn't have a thing in the world to do with you going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because Christ paid for all my sins on that cross. It's settled. What am I going to get in heaven? Well, I'm doing something now I think God wants me to do. You say, what if you're wrong? I dare not do this. If I don't do this, I'm in trouble. And he cried with a loud voice, saying, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them, now notice, that they should rest for a little season. How long's that? It's under 3 years. Until their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Okay, I'm going to take off right where I left, right there. I'm going to give you plenty of time in the back. I'm not going to beg you to make sure you come next Sunday for the what Robert usually does and for what Chuck's been doing. I want you to come because you need to hear this. You need to hear the proof of it. You say, well, why are you so convinced of this? From the Word of God. Is it because I'm a scientist? No. No. Is it because God speaks to me? No. Is it because I can hear God, He whispers to me? No. I believe it because the Word of God teaches it. And so I'm just asking you to listen to it. There are going to be a lot of saved people in heaven. But there are going to be a lot of saved people in heaven that don't receive the full reward because they did not keep the faith. Well, would you just